meeting today, and it's 7 o'clock, so we'll call the August 21st, 2017 Design Review Board meeting to order. We'll start with roll call.
Carolyn Adams.
Here.
Tim Olson. Nolan Morgan.
Here.
Brad Brown. Scott Reiser.
Here.
Dave Russell.
Here.
Susan Bush.
Here.
All right. We have one item on the agenda tonight. It's the continuation of the conceptual design conference for the Aegis Living of Kirkland at 100 Lake Street South. Are there any requests from the audience not pertaining to tonight's agenda? Seeing none, we'll start with the continuation of the conceptual design conference.
Okay, and I just have a brief presentation before the applicant presents their concepts.
Okay.
So as you said, this is the second conceptual design conference for this project. And I just wanted to remind you what happened at the last one, which was 2 weeks ago, and you gave some direction. The first thing you asked was clarification on the driveway location. The applicant was proposing for the driveway to be set back 50 feet to the east of Lake Street. And you asked that we confirm with Public Works that that was going to be adequate. We have met, the applicant has met with Public Works. I was at the meeting. They haven't gotten final approval because they need to do the report and Public Works needs to review it, but from all indications, this will be approved. And I'll talk about it a little later in my presentation, but they went through not only the driveway location, but how the site was going to work, the drop-off area, where the parking was going to be, both for retail and for residents, and Public Works reviewed all that at this meeting. You also talked about two of the options. So the applicant's preferred option was option three. You asked that they look into option two more. There seemed to be a preference for option two, but liking some of the things about option three. So that you asked that they study it further. You have a packet with their drawings, but I think they will be explaining to you more why they came up with the proposals that they did. You also asked for more commercial along Lake Street, and I'll talk a little more about that, and I'm sure they will too. And then other options for the Mediterranean theme, or you at least wanted to see how that was going to look. It was very, very vague in what you saw last time because it was a conceptual conference. But they went into more detail because you wanted to know more what that would be. Those are the things you asked to discuss, and I'm sure they're going to go explain those more in their presentation. But I just have a few things I wanted to talk to you about. I want to start by saying I was looking back today, and I realized that it's been 2 years since you started looking at this site. So and I can tell you that staff spent much more time before that on this site. It's got a long history, and it's got a contentious history. But not with this applicant, with the previous applicant. So when this applicant came in to talk to me, I said, the first thing you need to do is talk to the neighbors, because the neighbors, as you remember, were very upset about the previous design. They felt it I don't think they disliked the design so much as they didn't feel that it fit into their neighborhood. Okay, and then there were many issues about bulk and mass and height and use. So I told them to go talk to the neighbors. So I want to say that first because they have done that and they have tried to work with the neighbors, and some of that may be the reason for the result of the design you're seeing now, which may be to some of you a little further along than what you'd expect in a conceptual design conference. So I'll start with that. You received some emails and support at the last meeting. There's another six that have come in that I've put, I'm sure you've seen them, they were emailed to you, but I've also given them to you and given you paper copies for tonight if you want to refer to them. So again, they're all in support. One of them being from a somebody who is a representative of a larger group of people. At least that's the way she presents it, and that's the way it's been presented all along. So I would say the neighborhood group leader and then others have come out in support of this. So just to let you know what they're saying, they're supporting massing option 3. They're supporting less retail. They like the amount that is proposed. They feel that that's what's appropriate for their residential neighborhood. They've also supported the Mediterranean architectural style. And they like the queen bee. One point I want to make about the queen bee, last time we got into a conversation about whether or not that was an appropriate restaurant because of its hours and how much it would be open. That's not the kind of thing that either you or staff can regulate. The zoning code says restaurant or retail. We don't get into that kind of detail. So I should have probably brought that up at the last meeting, but I didn't. So I just want to let you know that now. If it's a restaurant or retail use, that's about as far as we would go with that. And then also they all brought up the fact that the applicant has been working with them quite a bit, met with them quite a few times to come up with a design that they liked. Okay, now, General Regulation 1 in the zoning code. This is the general regulation that relates to the neighborhood business zone. It's something I wanted to talk to you about, because usually we're saying to you, stay away from the zoning. You don't have anything to do with that. That's something that staff reviews. But in this case, it specifically calls out the Design Review Board, and that's why it's been brought to you. So on this first slide, and I tried to highlight the things that were important in blue. The first slide talks about the regulation in general. So it's saying for an assisted living use, the street level floor of the buildings shall be limited to one or more of the following uses. And this is where we get the idea that it needs to be retail or office or restaurant, some kind of commercial use. And that it has to have a minimum depth of 20 feet with an average depth of at least 30 feet. And that's supposed to be all across Lake Street. And I know that's a concern that was a concern last time. Okay. Then the next section of this general regulation brings you all into it. And it says that you, as the design review board, can modify this frontage requirement where the property abuts residential zones in order to create a more effective transition between the uses. This property is surrounded by residential zones. And as I said, this has kind of come up before, what's appropriate in this area. And there's some disagreement. But the neighbors feel that it should be more residential in character. So this is what you're dealing with. This is the criteria that you're looking at when you're deciding whether or not to allow them to reduce the amount of commercial frontage.
Can I ask, maybe we're getting too much into the zoning then, can I ask a clarifying question then since we're
sure.
on that?
Yeah.
What is the goal of the neighborhood business zoning? I mean, the goal of the zoning, looking at its face, is to bring business and retail in. Is that correct? Is that a correct way of interpreting?
I would agree. And what I would say is, so I suppose, and Jeremy might have more to tell you about it, but
I'm sure it's more nuanced than
that.
Yeah,
but I think that the reason there is this modification criteria in here. So obviously, there's a little push and pull here.
Absolutely.
With what fits. And you, fortunately or unfortunately, get stuck with the choice of deciding what does.
On that topic, it used to be that you could look at the comprehensive plan to see why a particular piece of land was zoned a certain way, and I couldn't find that, and that might have been a limitation of my ability to zip around. But does a comprehensive plan address this piece of property in this neighborhood specifically?
Not that I know of.
I couldn't.
Jeremy, do you know any more about
that?
And
I'll look that up as you chat.
Okay. One thing I would say that's a little unusual here is we have one site that's zoned BN.
Yeah.
And that makes it tough too, you know, because normally you'd hope you'd have a few more sites than that. But maybe Jeremy will be able to, as I'm going forward, he might be able to clarify that for you a little bit more. So where am I? So there's been, like I said, there's been a number of meetings. So the applicants met with planning staff a number of times, and they've also now met with public works staff to be sure about that driveway so that they could move forward with their design, because obviously that would change things. And then they've met with the neighbors. So there's push and pull here, and it's a little difficult. For example, the driveway moving further up the hill would cause the building to be higher. The neighbors really want to keep the height low, and so that's an issue. The bulk and mass have been a concern. The applicant has tried to cut down on the bulk and mass, but then some of the design is maybe not the way you would prefer it to be. So I just trying to show you different sides of this. It's been difficult for all of us. So the applicant is proposing this option three again, and I think they will explain more how they're getting to that. And the neighbors are supporting that. At least all the neighbors we've heard from are supporting that wholeheartedly. They like the idea of open space and landscaping at that northwest corner, as opposed to what the code would outright require, which would be building mass and retail or some kind of commercial use. So they're thinking that the transition works well as open space and landscaping. And again, looking back at what the criteria says, they're saying, both the applicant and the neighbors, that design of that corridor has been enhanced to create a more effective transition between the uses. The uses being neighborhood commercial uses and the surrounding residential uses. It's difficult for staff to argue against that, since we're hearing from all the neighbors that they like this. So then again, the next bullet is just saying the same thing. The neighbors are supporting this. Public Works is looking at it from a safety standpoint. They support keeping that corner open because the street 10th, where they get access, isn't a very wide street. It allows for more visibility, both coming out of the site and for people turning right. If they're going north, turning right onto 10th, it allows for more visibility that way too. So Public Works is also supporting the open site triangle. I just wanted to try to give you a picture of everything that's going on here, because maybe it'll help you some. And now the applicant will get up and talk more about how they came up with their design solution, but I wanted to give you that background.
Just a couple things I'll supplement. We did update the comprehensive plan and the zoning a few years ago. You'll remember there was a moratorium when the other prior project was going through its process. We used that moratorium to update the comprehensive plan, kind of rewrite some of the BN zoning, and adopt design guidelines and a design review process for these business districts. So I'll get to your question about the comp plan in a minute, but it's kind of some of the things Angela's talked about in the design guidelines. They talk about these districts being surrounded by residential uses that they serve. Design character context of new development is critical to ensure that it integrates into the neighborhood. The guidelines are intended to further design objectives, design standards that promote attractive commercial areas and reflect the distinctive role of each area, encourage and develop places and events throughout the community where people can gather and interact, ensure that building design is compatible with neighborhood and size, scale, and character. So that blip out of the guidelines is specifically aimed at this property for the reasons Angela mentioned, that it's a bit of an island of commercial zoning. The comp plan talks about this area of Lake Street generally not being suitable for commercial uses, with this lone parcel as the exception. It talks about mitigating impacts to adjoining residential area, subjecting new development to the following standards, orienting commercial uses towards serving the neighborhoods. Upper floors residential rather than office, with a density limit and design review, which, as Angela points out, falls to you all to figure it out, should be used to address scale, context, and pedestrian orientation of new development. So all of those, that kind of policy base is written into the regulations. It provides some latitude on the frontage requirements and into the design guidelines that say, that talk about how you integrate these buildings into the surrounding neighborhood.
So is there a historical reason for this being commercial? Was there commercial property there?
There was.
Cleaners and sandwiches.
Yeah, it's kind of been an assortment of commercial uses as long as I've been here, kind of coming and going. Maybe the dry cleaner was the longest lived tenant, which isn't very fortunate for the ground underneath.
Historically, it's been zoned as a business, whether it's BN or what have you, since it's been around.
Yeah, the BN was expanded somewhere along the way to pick up another parcel, but by and large, the property's been in the BN zone, just undeveloped, underdeveloped for a very long time.
And this, maybe you don't know this off your head, what other areas do we see the BN zoning?
You see BN zoning north of Bridal Trail Shopping Center, little BN spot up on Finn Hill where the gas station and the little Mexican restaurant is.
Where that Shell is and everything up there, yeah.
Right. And then there's some cousins of BN up where you see the more retail-oriented stuff, the Zip Mart up on Market Street. So those are kind of the...
But they are almost purely retail, not a unique
bigger,
like this
right.
That's...
Most of them are bigger. The zones are certainly bigger. This is probably the smallest zone. And all of them, with the exception of the one in north of Bridal Trails, haven't been redeveloped. The Bridal Trails was that little strip mall north of Bridal Trails on 70th was redeveloped in the probably late 90s, mid-90s.
And there's no residential component to any of them that I can think of off the top of my head.
And this and the Bridal Trails property, and looking at the zoning map, seem to be the smallest separately zoned commercial properties in the city.
Probably. Bridal Trails has the advantage of being across the street
from
a BC
area.
Zone, which is a more intensive commercial zone. So it's got a little bit, and across the street in Redmond is also commercial. So it's a little bit more set into a commercial context than some of these other sites. If there weren't one other thing I wanted to mention, if you didn't have any further questions, you've gotten a couple emails from DRB members who aren't here tonight. And I would just encourage, and I think Susan, last meeting you sent those, that you take those in the context of not here to hear the presentation, not benefiting from public testimony that might have occurred. I'm not sure if
the
most current. No, read them. You can certainly read them. But
and last time we don't usually read them almost verbatim, but kind of at the behest of another board member, we went ahead and did it because they weren't very long. But I know typically we don't do that. We just read them and hopefully.
And I think just when you comment absentee or you read comments from somebody who's not here, just consider them in light of the context and their involvement in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said.
I apologize, I wasn't here last time, but I do have a question. In terms of the zoning, is there anything else that we should be considering or aware of relative to an assisted living facility? Is it treated any differently in the zone or like other residential?
I'm just trying to think. Probably not in relationship to what you're reviewing. They are allowed more density because it's assisted living, and therefore very few people drive, if any, and they just don't have the same impact on the neighborhood. So you have the ability to have twice as many units. Also, many of the people, I think, live alone. So, but that really, you don't look at density. That's something that comes to mind. Other than that, I don't think so. The parking, they're requesting a parking modification, which, again, is not under your review. The Public Works Department is looking at that, and I'm pretty sure we'll approve it because, again, the residents don't drive, so they don't need the same amount of parking as another development.
I don't, I have no idea what the staffing ratio is, and that, that would impact the parking, presumably.
Right, and Public Works will be looking at that. I mean, they have a number of examples to look at, both that of Aegis projects and other projects within Kirkland. But I'm just saying that's a difference, but not something that you all review or approve.
Okay. All right, well, I guess we can get to turn it over to the applicant. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, well, I think it's good. Yeah, I know there's a lot of aspects, a lot of facets to this particular project, so.
Hello, I'm Brian Ziegler with Aegis Senior Communities. It's good to be back again. Thanks for the quick turnaround on this. Before we get started, I just wanted to give you a quick update on where we are and some of the background on how we got to where we are on design. But we did purchase the property. We now own it as of last Monday, so we are the owners. Paid, it's public record, paid $10.1 million for it, so we're paying about $3,000 a day in interest. So we're, you know, time is of the essence for us to come to a resolution, and we're hopeful that we can do that tonight to keep moving this along. To the purchase, we conducted a broad due diligence of the property, as anyone would, and that included, you know, that you guys had several years, a couple years at least, of deep design review, public comments and testimony and comments from your own board. There's also been the EIS, the shorelines permits, community input, and so we weren't starting from scratch by any means. This wasn't like a, this is a little unique for us in that a lot of properties we buy, you're starting from ground zero. This one had a lot of history, and we wanted to respect that history, and we wanted to tap into what was good, eliminate what was bad, and keep moving this thing forward. So that was a benefit that we had a good indication of what we were in for. Our due diligence included extensive design effort that could fit our specific programmatic needs for assisted living and memory care into the general shape of the previous project. The previous project had gone through a lot of review, had comments. It seemed like it was in striking distance of getting approved. We refined it, made it a little smaller, and actually more setbacks around the property than what it had. So if anything, we reduced the impacts. We're also less impact with traffic, et cetera. So we thought we had a good approach there, and we modified that envelope a little bit, as you saw in the option three. Unique to this use is the challenge to provide all of our common areas. We have common uses in here for assisted living that include a theater, dining room, spa, massage, the likes of that. So kind of commercial uses at our ground level. They're for the tenants, those commercial uses, and that are for our tenants. But we need them all to be on one level and at the ground level. We further have specific requirements from the Department of Health, things like outdoor terraces for memory care have to be a certain size, and they have to be a certain location. We're dealing with a whole lot of operational needs that we needed to know before we took on this project that it would fit in this envelope before we made that purchase. And we really can't deviate from things like Department of Health needs. It's not like a condominium or apartment where I can just take boxes and arrange them in a whole bunch of different ways. This is much more specific and refined. And so that's one of the reasons as we came to the conclusion that we did on a shape and bulk and mass that works. After our last meeting, we decided to authorize the architects to take this to another level, even though it's not typical for concept. We authorized the architect to move beyond concept so we can visually clarify massing and bulk and scale and starting to get a flavor of character. By no means is this a character study and that it's going to be, you know, this is the material that we're using. That's for another day. But you can start to see the flavor that we're thinking about. And now we can start, I think it helps just visualize, you know, what we're kind of all about and talking about. So we did listen to your comments from the last meeting and have met with several community members and key staff to refine the design. And tonight we have variations on a plan that functionally meet our needs while offering several options relative to the commercial component for the DRB to consider. And again, I'm just very hopeful that we can come to an agreement tonight and move this forward so we can go to the next step and get into vernacular and design. With that, I'll turn it over to our architect, Jeremy Sutherland with Anchor Moisson. Thank you.
Hi there. I'm Jeremy Sutherland, Anchor Moisson. Thank you, Brian. a couple of things that I'll, I think I'm going to be repeating a little bit or echoing some of the things that, that both Angela and Brian said. I'd like to start with a couple of clarifications. The first is that this is indeed a continuation of the hearing that we did 2 weeks ago. We provided a lot of background information as part of that, a lot of zoning information, information on Aegis and their operations. If there are any questions about that stuff, we're happy to cover it. We've included it in an appendix in your package, but I'm not planning on going over that again tonight. The second piece is that I'd like to sort of remind everybody this is a conceptual design conference. The images that you're going to be looking at tonight are way more detailed and have a lot more character in them than we would typically provide. We're not asking for approval on any of the design character stuff tonight. We're not asking to review materials or paving patterns or anything like that. We will be going through a full design response process, and we understand that. But we have added a level of detail, like Brian said, to try to give a sense of the character and sort of the flavor that that the site might take on, and to really try to bring it back to sort of a residential scale and talk about how it might start to fit into the neighborhood. I know that there was some concern about the design inspiration in our last hearing, and so we thought it best to take it a little bit farther to say this is what it might start to look like. So what are we asking for tonight? We are indeed asking for approval on the massing so that we can move this project forward. And more specifically, we're asking for your approval on option three. We've created two variants, and I can talk through those. So, you know, even if it's an approval that has sort of specific conditions associated with it that we need to meet, it would be great to get something that would keep our team moving forward and design progressing. So if there's still outstanding comments and or concerns, we're happy to resolve those. I'm not looking to dismiss those at all. I'm just asking, or I think our team is hoping that we can do that simultaneously with the design of the project moving forward. So what we've done since the last time we met in the last 2 weeks have been very, very busy for us. We have had studies done of options two and three by our traffic engineer. We met with Public Works again regarding both options two and three. We met with Waste Management regarding the trash collection. We scheduled our formal pre-submittal conference with all the city departments, and that meeting is scheduled actually for tomorrow afternoon. We met again with the neighbors. We have met again with the city planning staff, and then we've done a ton of meetings internally with our team as we progress the design forward. And I just realized that I forgot to mention one thing, which is, and Angela alluded to it, we also understand that as part of approving option three, that it will require a modification or a reduction to the commercial frontage requirement that is within your scope to be able to approve. So these were the three options that we presented last time. We heard three sort of key pieces of feedback. The first was a desire for more commercial along Lake Street, specifically at the corner of Lake Street and 10th. And there was a preference for a variety of commercial uses or several smaller commercial spaces rather than one large one. We heard that separation and the visual screening of the entry court and the vehicular circulation, specifically in option two, was preferable to being able to see the cars from Lake Street. And then the large pedestrian-oriented courtyard facing Lake Street was viewed, again, as a positive, and again, that was sort of pushing to option two. We did a lot of studying on option two, and we found it to be, as we suspected, to be somewhat problematic, and I'll go into the reasons for that momentarily, but what we've based our variants on option three are trying to meet some of those requirements or some of those comments that we heard from what you wanted to see in the last time. We also heard, ironically, some conflicting information from the neighbors, and these were confirmed again in our meetings that we had last week with them. The first being that the commercial space used just to fill the site or to fill the street frontage to meet a requirement is viewed really negatively from a neighborhood standpoint, especially at the scale of this site. The concerns there, you know, that we were hearing have to do with viable retail that wouldn't see a lot of turnover, that wouldn't provide a lot of congestion or additional parking requirements. And so, you know, these were some of the concerns that were being brought up by the neighbors. Pulling the building back from the corner of 10th and Lake was viewed as a positive thing. The neighbors were feeling that this was a less massive and a less intrusive approach to provide a little landscape screening and a really nice place for the pedestrian interface as you're walking up and down Lake Street. And then the third piece that we didn't really touch on in our last meeting has to do with the building orientation. This is a Lake Street building, and the neighbors felt that it made sense for the entry to address Lake Street. So in option three, our main entry is actually facing Lake Street, not the residential neighborhood. The reason this is primarily important is because we are surrounded by an entry court that is going to have not only pedestrian activity, but also drop-offs and pickups, but it's also going to have the trash trucks coming in there and the delivery trucks. And so the idea of pulling that noise and that activity to the center of the site and having it internally focused rather than facing the residential neighborhood on 10th was brought up as a concern by the neighbors. A couple of highlights from our team's meeting with Public Works. The traffic engineer, as Angela said, feels pretty confident that we can illustrate the need and meet the requirements for the variance we're requesting on the driveway entrance. We talked a lot about option two and the problems that Public Works had with it, or the cautions that they brought up, had to do with the 50-foot view triangle. They felt that having the courtyard or the entry court off of 10th didn't allow for good view in and out as people are trying to make their way to or from the building. The entry court is too small, really, to allow for adequate stacking and maneuvering of not only people picking up and dropping off residents, but also, again, delivery trucks and that sort of thing. There was also the potential noise and activity associated with that along 10th. But probably the biggest piece has to do with 10th Street, which is an 11% slope. And to get down to a flat entry drive here, we're sloping down from 10th Street, which then creates a compound slope and a corkscrew effect. Even assuming that we can handle that from a maneuvering standpoint of the actual vehicles themselves, Public Works was concerned about this being a safety issue because of sight lines as you're pulling in or out of the site while you're on a slope. So that was something to be concerned about. So the last thing that I'll say before I go into the options is this is indeed a neighborhood business zone, and we've talked about this project many, many times as though this was a residential project. I'd like to reiterate, Aegis is a neighborhood business. They are providing a service for the residents of a neighborhood. All of the ground floor functions, and you can see them here, are dining rooms, pub, living room, wellness center, cinema, activity room, sports lounge. These are all commercial functions. They're not open to the public, but they are indeed commercial functions. If they were open to the public, the ground floor of this building would be allowed outright. I guess the only reason I say that is there was a lot of talk in our last meeting about using the 3 foot of granted additional height because of the and whether or not that should happen if we're asking to reduce the commercial frontage. We need that 13 feet of floor height for all of our public functions on the ground floor. So it's not just the small piece of retail along the street that we're talking about from that. So really, we do need the additional height, and we're not actually using all of the 3 feet. We're only using roughly half of it at 1'8". So again, that's kind of the opening piece. What we've provided today to look at are three variants to option three. The first being just a further development version of what you saw before with an enhanced landscaped corner at 10th and Lake. And what we're proposing here is the retail frontage along here spill out for sort of cafe tables and a terrace associated with the retail. We are proposing some sort of architectural framework here, whether it be in this configuration or something similar to that, that probably has some sort of water feature associated with it. In this case, we're showing a channel that would drain into this sort of stream-like trough along the ground that people can sort of sit in or sit on, sorry, and next to. You know, wandering, meandering path, a lot of landscaping. And again, we haven't designed this from a landscape architecture standpoint, but this is the sort of scale or the level of landscaping or the intensity of landscaping that we would be looking for. We are still showing our plaza here, and we really are envisioning this as a primarily pedestrian zone that cars can actually pass through. And I've got some photos of how this has been done and some other examples of projects here in a bit. And this is just another view of it. And the floor plans, the same thing. You enter the site here. The main drop-off in the front lobby is right here. Loading functions are here. The entry to the garage is here. Most of the visitors would be in this auto court for probably less than 3 minutes while they pick or drop somebody off, or they come in and go down to the garage. I guess the deliveries happen pretty infrequently, and that's something that Brian and Stephanie can talk more about. Option 3A is what we're calling this one. It is sort of a hybrid. What we've tried to do is activate the corner over here with something that is not a commercial use, but that is actually a built structure. And what we're envisioning here is some sort of a pergola-type structure, not all that dissimilar from what you'd find in Pioneer Square here, but we're thinking some sort of ornamental metal to give a sense of place. It could be occupied by, you know, by people walking up and down. It could have benches. It could have art. It could have a lot of different types of sort of draws to it. But the idea of creating something built that is not building, we thought might be a nice happy medium between providing actual mass and bulk in that corner, but also still providing something that would be that could be considered an amenity and a benefit to the neighborhood. And then finally, the third option that we're looking at here is what we're calling option or a variant 3B, which is actually creating a freestanding retail building in that corner. Rather than trying to pull the mass of the building out and step it down, which would require tunneling through the building and gets really messy operationally, to create just a freestanding commercial space down here. And what we're showing is roughly 1,000 to 1,200 square foot freestanding building. It could be a retail space. It could be an office space. I will say that this is not programmatically needed for this project. So if we provide this, it would be specifically to meet the intent of the zoning. And so it could be done, but this is what we would propose if we are required to put retail along that frontage. And I believe there are a couple of images of this type of these type of pedestrian car shared spaces. The first two are Lake. Is it Street or Lake Parkway? I'm trying to Park Lane. Here in Kirkland, they're on the left. The bottom one's actually a project that Ingram Moisen has done in Portland. It's a condo project, and then the others are just other examples that we found. But the idea is that literally you have cars and pedestrians sort of sharing the same zone. It's usually flush curbs, transitional sort of an upgraded paving. Using bollards to define space, a lot of landscaping mixing in with the paved areas. So really thinking of this as a more of a plaza rather than, say, a driveway. And everything else that is in this presentation is just part of the appendix and was provided last time. So thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions that I can.
Anyone want to start?
I'll start. I wasn't here the first time around, so some of these may have been answered before. But I have two questions. One is, if there's no site section or anything showing how exactly, you know, what the parking's like below, or do you have, basically, this is a two-way street going in and out of the plaza, and then you go through there, and then you go down to the parking, is that right?
Correct. Okay. So this is a two-way drive. We are allowed, we're being told that we're allowed one curb cut, and it has to be on 10th.
Okay.
So all of our vehicular traffic comes in this point here. It comes down ramp. We actually drop down about 8 feet from the street to here. And then you can either drop off at level one of the building, or you continue down a ramp to the parking garage below. Where we actually are providing the entire parking for this project and the retail or the commercial space that's resulting.
Okay. So the loading zone, do they actually pull in and back in?
That is correct.
Okay.
The just to clarify that again, the deliveries for this project, they happen about once a day, and it's not like a semi truck. It's kind of a smaller utility truck. We think that the largest truck that's going to come in and out of this site is actually the trash truck, and we have met with waste management and have gotten the dimensions and the turning radii and all of that of the trucks they're planning to use.
And the structure, the front corner, is that a public space or is it basically for the residents?
In
the northwest corner, public, the open space.
The open space is intended to be open to anybody up and down the street. The retail that we're showing in this location also is what Angela was referring to as the Queen Bee, which is the likely candidate for a retail function here. It's a coffee shop and cafe. That would be open to the public. In fact, the residents typically inside the building, so it's more public than it is for the residents. And then this entire zone that is here, even though it, whether it be landscaped or whether it have a pergola or whether it have a commercial building, is all intended to be part of the public, okay. Sort of the public realm.
Okay. So. And my last question is, are there any landscaped areas specifically for the residents? Because I know, you know, with the memory problems and all that, what's closed for them?
Indeed, we have stepped the building back by about 30 feet in the middle section, and this area back here will actually be a courtyard specific to the memory care neighborhood. The other thing that Brian talked about was the sort of requirements and layout for memory care specific environments, which have to do with circular walking paths, and the idea that a resident can go from inside, outside, through this courtyard, and then back into the building, and really creating sort of spaces for meandering, I guess, is probably the.
And that's the courtyard in the back on the east.
That is the,
not the front area.
Correct. And there are. This will be. It will be a secured neighborhood, meaning the residents would need to be. They typically are accompanied by a family member or by a caregiver if they're. When they do step off the unit, it, as part of, you know, their own sort of safety, and it's part of the program of care that AEGIS provides for this particular population in memory care. The other levels of the building are assisted living. People are obviously they're open. And, you know, while most of the residents don't leave the building typically, and they eat their meals here and they do most of their activities here, it's a matter of going downstairs. But there's nothing specifically keeping them in any location, so they can go out. A lot of times they may go for a walk up and down Lake Street or over to, you know, to one of the parks nearby. The idea is that this entry plaza could have some areas for, you know, for sitting outside and drinking coffee or playing cards and that sort of thing.
I just want to clarify, too. This is Brian again from AEGIS. The assisted living residents typically, they wouldn't go to the park across the street unaccompanied. There would always be one of our employees and things who would go with them, usually in a wheelchair or something like that.
So none of the residents would be independent enough to go outside and walk around
there? It would be unusual.
Okay.
I can't say that it wouldn't happen, but it would be very unusual. And then even so, we like to know, you know, you like keep an eye on them because there's uneven surfaces and things. And going across the street into a park and down the road is probably something that, you know, technically they're free to go, but it's just not that kind of population. We would typically have someone go with them. Yeah.
I know it's not really our responsibility, but could you tell me roughly what the peak staffing would
yeah,
be?
Absolutely. Happy to tell you. Our peak staffing, we have three shifts, and the first shift is 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., and that shift is about 0.4% of the population. So this is 106 units, so let's just say that's about 40 staff people that will be on site at that time. And that includes everyone from the general manager, marketing director, all the way through our care providers, nurse, and then also housekeeping and that. So that's everybody. The next shift is 2 p.m. to 10 p.m., and that's roughly about the same staffing. So, and then at the 10 p.m. to the 6 a.m., the overnight shift is quite a bit less. There's about 20, 25 people or so that will be in the building during that time. And then our peak visitor times are evenings and weekends. So essentially think of meal times and when you have free time from work and things, you'll come by. And typical stay for a visitor is about 30 minutes. You know, they come and go. So, yeah. And this would be the most parked AEGIS community. I think it is the most parked. If it's not the most parked, it's like the top two. We have 30 communities, and this would have the most parking. And we're not asking for a variance. One thing I should point out, too, is we're not asking for a variance in the commercial parking. So Kirkland, as you probably know, has extremely rigorous parking requirements for things like the Queen Bee. I think we're required 12 parking spaces for that space, for a 1,200-square-foot space. For example, our Madison Park and our Queen Anne Queen Bees have zero parking, so this would have 12. We don't think we would ever use all 12. But it is a burden to us because, remember, you know, we were talking about the other BN zones. I doubt those have underground parking. And for us to do underground parking costs about $30,000 per space. And so that adds quite a bit of cost to the building. And that concerns me a little bit with the additional retail, frankly, too, is I haven't reconciled in my head yet how much parking we're going to need for all this retail. And if we can physically provide it, or do we need to go back for another variance, or, you know, it's just another question mark for me. So I would love to provide the Queen Bee, though.
All right.
So a couple of simple questions. The south commercial building, does it have meet the requisite, the code requisite 30-foot average depth? I can't tell.
You mean this retail space here?
Yep.
Yes, it does.
Okay, thank you. And what square footage is it?
It's roughly, it's 2,500, 2,400 square feet.
Thanks. And the north one appears to be a little skinnier. You said it was 1,200 square
feet? It's about 1,000 to 1,200 square feet.
Thanks. Thank you.
Susan?
I have a couple questions, maybe for staff. I heard mention of a 50-foot view triangle on the corner, and I don't remember hearing about that before with the previous reviews of previous projects. So is that something specific to the site, or is it specific to the zone?
It's, well, actually both and neither. The previous project had the driveway setback 75 feet, mm-hmm. and so that met the requirement that Public Works had, so they didn't. It wasn't as important to have this view triangle. This project is asking for a variance from that Public Works policy to move it to 50 feet, so 25 feet closer to the intersection. Because of that, having it open is preferable. This just came, and the reason you haven't heard about it before also is because it just came up when we met with Public Works Transportation. They brought that up.
So how could they do this retail building in the corner?
Well, I suppose they would have to move it out of the view triangle. I mean, there's ways it could be done, but it's not ideal, you know. I mean, we'd have to measure it and figure out a way to, again, it's another one of these compromises, you know, that we have to meet. Or I think they could move it south and it would work. If not, they may have to move the driveway. I mean, there's a number of issues with the site.
The view triangle, is it absolutely required, or they're just saying they would prefer it? I mean, so is
I can't
to have
answer
an open intersection, of course.
Yeah,
I mean, is it just guidance or a requirement?
Where we are with this is, and would you like to? Yeah, that would be good. I'm getting out of my element here.
So the view triangle is, I'm Stephanie Herstein with Transpo Group. So I'm working on the traffic study and the driveway variance. So Public Works requested the view triangle, and that request is because it's so that when people are coming around the corner on Lake Street, they can see drivers coming out of the driveway, and then also so the drivers coming out of the driveway have a view of drivers turning from Lake Street onto 10th. And it's a safety concern. So I would say that Public Works usually doesn't compromise on safety, and Tang has strongly said that he would like the view triangle on the site.
But even with that building, this is much better than the previous project.
Yes, again, the previous project was not asking for a variance to the location of the driveway. It had its driveway 25 feet further.
Right. It was coming in higher.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's sort of, okay.
Yeah.
It was coming into the center.
So they didn't have to go through this with the Public Works.
And so the request to move the driveway to the south, the 50 feet, is so that they can get the building lower. So the previous building was higher, so they had the driveway up higher.
Actually, just to clarify, the previous building was not higher. Or if it was, it was a very small amount.
Yeah.
But it was a different program.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
I think on the previous one, they were ramping down into structured parking, right? I mean, it was
it's
a lot
just
different situation.
They have different needs because it was just a regular condo.
And they had several, they had more parking, so.
Then piggybacking on that, a couple other things. The I heard say that no driveway is allowed on Lake Street, and I'm just curious if that is something that, is that a BN requirement? Is that a public works requirement?
It's not a BN requirement by any means, not a zoning. When we get into that type of thing, it's public works. If you remember, there was a proposal that had, I mean, maybe, oh, maybe it was before you. Public Works did look at that, because there's a lot of traffic on Lake, but 10th is a narrow street. So it's, again, a compromise, which is better. The determination was ultimately that it would be better to have the access off of 10th. Now, that's by Public Works. Now, I can't speak for them. I know that they don't want two access points, but I mean, I can't say absolutely they wouldn't have it off of Lake. But they looked at this, you're right, over 2 years ago and made the determination they wanted off of 10th.
Okay. I will say we did an extensive study of the driveway on Lake Street, and Public Works did not want it on Lake Street, mainly because of the traffic volumes and the ability for a car to get out of the driveway.
Traffic volumes from the project or traffic?
Traffic volumes on Lake Street.
So then all these are tied together, right? Trying to understand the vehicle circulation. But for loading to work, for the trash and the delivery truck, I can see how they can get in, back in. But do they have to back out onto 10th?
So they can, they've said that they'll probably back into the site and then pull out front, in the front, is how Waste Management has said that they would pick up the trash. But they could turn around on site. We've run an analysis that shows that they could pull in and they'd have to turn and like pick up the trash, and then they'd, there is enough room in the courtyard for them to do that.
To do a full radius turn?
Well, they'd have to do like a four-point turn.
Yeah. Okay.
One other thing about, again, with the previous proposal, I think before you saw, there was a lot of concern about garbage pickup with the neighbors and also with Waste Management. So that's, if we have something that's been approved, that's a good thing, because we spent an incredible amount of time on that one issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then last thing, we are maximizing height right now. There's no leeway for height.
We are asking for a building height measured from the average building elevation at a total of 31 foot 8 inches. With the 13-foot retail, we're allowed 33 feet. However, because this is the low area of the site, we also, if we do end up pulling the building out, the building gets taller without the building getting taller, just from where you're measuring it from. So where we are right now is 31 foot 8, and we would, technically be allowed to go to 33. So, no, we're not maxing out the absolute height.
So is there any space left in there for any kind of roof modulation? Or
we have talked about roof modulation, and we understand that there are modulation requirements, and we also would like to see. There's not a lot of space for jogging the roof. What we've talked about, though, is possibility of doing small jogs in the parapet, using any of our stair tower. You know, you can see a little popping up here, and opportunities where we're allowed the mechanical screening and that sort of thing that goes above, in creative ways, but mainly dealing with it from a color material change and a modulation of the facade and breaking the building into areas or sort of masses that make sense for the massing. So there may not be a lot of up and down modulation, but we do have plenty of room to push and pull which when you're standing on the ground starts to break up the perceived length of the facade. One thing that we have done is, as Brian indicated, we pulled the building back from our property lines, even beyond the required setbacks. We've got basically an additional 5 feet, even at the areas where we're tightest up against our property lines. So we have some room for jogging a little bit as well. So
okay.
We'll get into that with the design response for sure.
Sure.
Okay, Scott?
I'm good.
Okay.
So roughly with those two commercial buildings, what percentage of the frontage are you covering?
Do we have a number?
Like half?
50 long and 80 feet long on the other side.
And then we're allowed 20% of the facade to be taken up by our lobby, which is also facing Lake Street.
60-65%, or even more, including the lobby. So
75. So we're still short.
And if you consider the lobby on, I know it's facing Lake Street, but, you know, but, yeah, if you throw it in there, it sounds like 75%.
I would say the way we measured the previous one was just the pieces that came forward.
Well, that's,
you know, we didn't do the part that was set way back, so.
And just for discussion's sake, if to just tack on to that question, if it's just the option that's not C without the little standalone retail, if it's just the retail space at the southwest corner, that's about 25% of the total frontage there along Lake Street. Is that a fair approximation?
If you're talking about this chunk here,
that
is correct. Keep in mind, we double the width with terrace area that's associated with that retail. So true, it's 25% of constructed building area. But again, looking at the area of actual space used for the retail, we think it's probably larger than that.
Okay. I didn't have any specific questions other than that. So, all right.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next next part is comments from the audience. If you would please state your name and address for the record. I guess I should say if there are any.
Hi, I'm sorry I'm late. I wanted to see the whole thing. I'm Chuck Pilcher. I live at 223 Fifth Avenue South, Unit D103, Kirkland. I've been involved in this. Do I have a time limit? I mean, I won't take long, but I just want to.
I don't think there's many people. Okay. So I think we should be okay.
Shouldn't be long. I've been involved with this group trying to mitigate this property for 6 years or more, and it's been a real struggle. It's been a pleasure, though, to work with the Aegis people. It's been a totally different feeling, and it's really nice to be able to come before the city at this point in this process with something that we can support and are enthusiastic about and look forward to rather than something we have to oppose. We've met with Aegis 3 times prior to tonight, and have seen all of the proposals that they've put up and are impressed with all of them, but certainly like Plan 3 better than any of the others because it reduces the scale, mass, and density, or apparent density of the project, which has been one of our goals throughout. Plan 3 does that We're also enthusiastic about the fact that this is lower intensity, even though the density of 115 or some units is higher. The actual intensity of that usage is going to be less. The traffic impacts are going to be less. The plans that Plan 3 offers in terms of landscaping and access from the pedestrian walkway are really appealing to us. The whole project just looks good. I'll confess that my initial reaction to the Italian-looking theme was sort of negative. I thought, this is kind of weird. But the more I looked at it, the more I realized this is really kind of neat. It'll be great to have something a little bit different. I mean, Marsh Commons is different. Shumway is different. We can do different things. The One Caroline Point is a little different. We've got all the parks, but so we don't need to do cookie cutter design on this on the boulevard. And the less of it we do, the better. And this also looks far less commercial, which is one of the things that we've always asked for, is something that looks residential. And in fact, this is a residence. We're looking forward to having 115 new neighbors. I think that this is a business in itself. The whole project is a business, and I think using, asking for more retail, the neighbors and the people that have been working on this for 6 years don't want more retail on this project. We would have been happy giving it all up for residential only, but we think this is a business in itself. We love the cafe that they plan to put in. That would be the one business we always did want. And you know, I really hope you can look at this with an open mind and find a way to mitigate it enough to make you and the planning department happy. And certainly the neighbors are ecstatic about this. So anything you can do to help there, you know, we want to become fans of yours instead of opponents. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I've not seen any more public comment. I guess we can jump right into our deliberations. As Jeremy had alluded to, we do have two emails from two board members, Tim Olson and Brad Brown, who are not present tonight, and they had sent in their comments, and like we're pointing out, they're in the context of having only seen the electronic packet, so I don't know that we really need to go through them unless nobody's had a chance to look through them.
I don't know.
Just for full clarity, go through them. All right, I will go through them. I'll start with Tim Olson's.
You can paraphrase.
Tim's is pretty brief, so.
I think you have copies in front of you if you don't want to. Just want to take a minute or.
I'll just briefly touch on his comments. He mentions that the renderings are much more fully developed than you'd typically expect in a conceptual design conference. North and south elevations need work to avoid blank walls. The fourth story setbacks on Lake Street will be minimized with if there are prominent vegetated trellises. The large center vehicle court still feels very suburban with possible vehicle-pedestrian interactions. The loading zone shows a blank wall with faux arches on west elevations. But again, that's probably since we're still at the conceptual design step. He mentions not enough retail. The B and BN zone is for business. And repeats that same statement for schemes 3A and B. A little more detail on B with the standalone retail. He mentions that the standalone structure seems a token of effort to increase retail. Not sure how viable in relationship to descending drive to the east will be odd. So that's Tim's comments in a nutshell, Brad's, along the same lines, I'll just highlight some of the more stronger points he makes. He said, I do not like the vehicle circulation path. I do not like that a vehicle circulation path is literally in front and center for option three. Any landscaping does not fix this. We cannot substitute landscape design for architectural design. And again, a comment on the pedestrian vehicle interaction in the courtyard. There are concerns, and again, concerns that that front area will turn into a parking lot. The design language used is inconsistent. The floating arcade wall is not a well thought out design element. Again, though, I think maybe that's a comment made in light of not having the applicant kind of describe why they were showing some detail and not others. So, and again, alludes to having some, you know, having a more favorable view of some of the characteristics in option two. He said, in regards to the vehicle, again, going back to vehicular circulation and parking, he says, I believe the parking garage ramping can work for option two. We have to see how it works on past proposals. Said the same level of materials and landscaping can be applied to option two and make for a better project. All right. Hopefully I was paraphrasing well enough there. So having said that, does anyone want to start for those of us that are here?
I'll start.
All right.
I think there's a lot of work gone into this and a lot of work with the neighbors, which is always very commendable. Obviously, staff is favorable with the applicant. What I find unfavorable is we're a design review board and we're in the conceptual space or phase. We're supposed to have three options, and we were presented a massive great option three, and then we were down talked option two, why it would not work. I will work with three, but I find it really offensive. I still like the side of option two, even looking at it on the computer over the weekend. I was surprised that we really didn't get another option. We got a dressed up version of our last meeting. And
is there almost an argument to be made if option two is never viable?
It wasn't not viable.
Then it's not an option.
Being told today in our presentation why it wouldn't work, and yes, we were given option three presented three ways. Obviously, this is what we have to work with, but the reason I want to start, I don't think that that is the way we should do this as a board. And I think in our packets given to applicants, it should be presented more. We want three viable options, not a progression, not one great one and two that are so bad that we can't use them. It's the whole point of it. Is that we get three viable options. And as a board, we all liked the way the courtyard, it wasn't having Lake Street be a turnaround. One of the reasons on the retail building being on the street there separate, I liked is because it hid the ramp for cars. And so, not because it's retail, but because it softened a very awkward-looking ramp where you have arches where they're three different sizes. You know, it looks like they're cut, and I realize that it's going to be changed in the next presentations, but I really would have liked to have had three options to look at. That being said, I think we have our work cut out for us on deciding. okay, I thought the pergolas, in a way, they did a disservice to themselves because the presentations we were given made them look very big and heavy. When you actually look at the space and you look at it from the height looking down, it wasn't that big. But we are given a project here that has a lot of concrete in the very front.
Yeah, I was of the...
and something where, yeah, there's going to be a garbage truck in the middle of it.
And I'm kind of having deja vu because I feel like a lot of the concerns that I had, I mean, for the same reasons that we had at the last meeting, still exist. And, you know, we send grab elements out of 2 and 3 to you know, there's a lot of discussion around that. And you know, and I know a lot of reason was given why pieces were not pulled out of 2 and incorporated into 3. So we essentially made no progress on that front, you know, which was our biggest concern in the last meeting, exiting the last meeting. And we still have, I mean, a much more dressed up than a strip mall, but you know, it's getting close to that. If you have that large of hardscape out on right along Lake Street, and I know there'll be a landscaped corner there. They're saying for a view corner. Well, then it's certainly not going to be the trees and stuff. You know, if it really is for safety, it's going to be very low level. Landscaping, you know, plant material, I would imagine. So
I don't know how we progress forward. I mean, I don't know, as a board, do we just decide, okay, 3 is the only option?
Well,
I'll let others weigh in on that.
I'm happy with 3. I was reasonably happy with 3 before. There were some things I didn't like. I like the fact that the overall layout and the pullback from the north piece. I forgot how many of them are pullback from the east side. The retail is fine in the south. I hear what you're saying, Scott, about the way this has been presented to us. We really didn't get an optimum version of 2. We found out that 2 wouldn't really work, and I appreciate that comment. But I find this, if the neighbors are happy with this and the developer likes this one, I find it quite serviceable. The issue for me right along has been, what does neighborhood business mean? And we've talked about that at the start, that there are only 2 or 3 pieces of land in the city that are zoned BN, and they're all small. And so it's not as if it's a wide concept. It seems to be perhaps a concept that has maybe some historical sequence, and it just develops around the needs of the neighborhood, perhaps. The neighborhood has expressed satisfaction with this, and if we go ahead and approve this with limited commercial. We're not strictly meeting the zoning code, but I don't know if anybody's going to take us to court. I don't know how I would feel about whether the north piece is needed.
Yeah, and to echo some of those sentiments, you know, I've been thinking on this a lot, and I probably approach it more from my engineering mind than an architectural mind, in that I think, you know, I'm trying to be cold and objective. I have a project on this parcel of land that is zoned, for whatever reason, is zoned the way it is. And so, and it, you know, we always provide a lot of minor variances, but when we're talking about 75% reduction, that's, you know, I know this is an objective, but more than 50% to me goes from minor to major. Mm-hmm. And unless there is a major benefit, you know, there's another major component to it. And with a 75% reduction, you know, it's really, with no other, you know, there's no, and I don't really, maybe I need more convincing of what that balance of that is, because I don't know that there's a counterweight to that in my mind.
But the zoning code does say where it adjoins single family.
Where it joins residential this often, correct.
It's left up to the DRB to relax it, the code.
And to segue into that, I mean, we hear a lot of, and it's great, the neighbors support it. And they, you know, this is not just tacit support. They've been very involved and very attentive to the detail. So I think that does not come lightly from the neighborhood groups and neighbors that we have heard from. So, you know, I try to weigh the request for that minor variance against that as well.
Well, I also think that the applicant's argument that this is a neighborhood business is, you know, I'll buy that one. Not that it serves everybody in the neighborhood, but the open space might and the cafe, and I think that, you know, that's valid.
Sorry, Jeremy, you had something to...
I was just going to point out, unlike you, Dibble, we dealt with the minor variations, this frontage requirement, if it helps at all with the conversation, doesn't have a minor component to it. It's not limited to a minor reduction.
Oh, okay.
That sentence just says the DRB may modify the frontage requirements where it abuts the residential zones in order to create more effective transitions between uses. So if that, I know.
Well, that does help a little bit, because I admit I had read through it and minor had, because we typically say minor. That's, you know, that's,
it says minor on the depth requirements. But the minor isn't tied to the frontage requirements.
I was tying it to other variances.
Exactly. And I think that's where the board has really struggled with that before, depending on the magnitude of the departure sought.
Because typically the variances are spelled out as minor on almost everything. So that's maybe where I just came up with that. So. Susan?
Did you want to go, Carol?
I'll go. I tend to agree with Dave. I mean, I think it's okay. I think there's a lot to be said for the fact that the neighborhood is behind it, and given that it's somewhat of an anomaly, I don't personally think we have to have this whole big long line of retail. And I think generally I'm okay with three. I do have some concerns, though, that I'd like to see addressed in the next phase. One being, my biggest one being really how that piazza is going to function as a multi-purpose space. To use the Park Lane comparison, I think, isn't really accurate, because Park Lane is an active retail. Everybody's out there promenading on the weeknights and sitting outside, and it's a lively, activated space. It's not assisted living facility. So I don't think that we can draw a parallel between those, really. So to me, the most important part is, how is this all going to be resolved? The cars, the services, the pedestrians. And I think that's key to, in my mind, to the success of this project. I like that eroded corner. I don't think that the extra sort of object elements are necessarily the retail or the pergola. I'm still somewhat, I'm not convinced about that either. And I'm also not convinced at all about this sort of stage set aqueduct water thing that's in front. I mean, it's got to have more substance to it. I understand that it's just very, you know, a placeholder in a way, but I'd like to see how that's going to be resolved. And then finally, as far as the Mediterranean goes, I hear what everybody's saying, but I think it's got to be addressed with sort of the light hand, because after all, we aren't in Italy, much as we might like to be sometimes. So I think that flavor could be incorporated, but it's got to be a la the Northwest, like Washington waterfront too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of the comments that have been made. So I wasn't here to see it the first time. I mean, to me, just the underlying issue on this site with the current scheme is the vehicular circulation. And I think that, you know, what we're seeing here is a similar pattern to what we see up other places on the boulevard that aren't great, where parking is and cars are the separation from the sidewalk to the building. And I find that a little worrisome, but on the other hand, if we're just sort of going to say, you know, it's not an urban site and it's a car place, then, you know, maybe we have to live with it. I don't know. I really feel like I saw that the end of his letter, Tim said this, and I was thinking the same thing, that I think that having the access off of 10th, to me, is sort of the root of the problem, and I think a Lake Street access for vehicles could solve a lot of things. It doesn't sound like that's an option from Public Works, but I'm worried that the neighbors aren't really going to like very much what happens at this intersection with trucks, visitors, staff, and then Lake Street traffic all trying to navigate that corner. Whereas, you know, down here on the south, there's access right there to the next project down, and there's actually a lot of driveways off of Lake, and they're more straightforward because they're level. So I wish there was an option where it could be looked at that way, because I think it could help the project in many ways. It would be way less contorted. So that said, if it can't happen and we have to live with this, then I think the other thing I would say is that, unfortunately, I feel like the massing is really the same massing that we've been looking at for years. I think there's minimal modulation. There's a very large static roof plane, continuous coping with no variation. It's different windows, but it's still the same form. And so I again, I'm concerned with that long south wall, which is very visible coming up Lake Street. And I think that there's a lot of work to be done to make the building more interesting, because it's really just flat walls with a different kind of punched window opening. The arches I'm not a fan of. I think that there are other projects that have the more of the Mediterranean look on Lake Street, but it's not kitsch. And so I would advise the architects to not let it be too derivative and look at one Carillon? I don't know. There's some really nice projects that were built in the 80s, but with nice built-up cornices. There's a yellow condominium project across from David Brink that has some pergolas, and it has some of this detailing, but it's still looks like a Northwest building to me, not a faux Italian building. So that's my comments.
I guess maybe I should ask too, within the context of option three, and you know, I heard Carolyn say she's probably less supportive of the retail there at the northwest corner. Is that a universal feeling? I'm
still undecided on it, just because it's not so much for the fact that it's retail, because I'm also wondering, just because of the use of the building, how successful retail is going to be here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a not a retirement, but a assisted living that's not a general draw to the public to want to come.
Yeah, I was trying to think, and I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on I know it's not assisted. Maybe that's part of the difference here. It's a more active retirement community instead of assisted living. But the one right downtown there that I'm drawing a blank on, that's behind
Merrill Gardens.
Yeah, Merrill Gardens. Yeah,
that's not so much assisted.
And that's what I'm saying. Maybe that's because it's more active. You know, the members or the people who live there, younger and more active. So that doesn't contrast as much with a vibrant area as like a facility like this.
I think, you know, I think that the purpose in these zonings of having commercial use on the ground floor is to create an active streetscape and a place where people can interact, you know, where the public can interact with the people who either live or work in the project, right? And so I think I agree with Carolyn. I'm not sure that the retail building, it does appear a little token. I'm not sure about the pergola necessarily either, but if this could be truly designed as a space where the public felt like they could enter in the site, I think that would be starting to get to the intent. And I'm worried that it's going to feel privatized because of the nature of the use and because, I don't know, maybe because it's severed from the project by the driveway. You know, maybe it will feel like it's more of the street, but
and maybe that
that's
just
what I would say strive for.
And just what you're saying, maybe it would help alleviate my concerns about giving up a lot of what would be retail frontage otherwise if it's treated much, you know, a lot more effort is put into that to make it an inviting, welcome space that benefits the neighborhood, the public, whoever, you know. And, you know, it's a successful space without there having to be retail there. I think that's what would help settle the concerns that I've, you know, had since we first saw this. So I think you hit on a good point there. And I guess I would probably agree too. And the applicant maybe even sort of said it, the standalone retail there on the corner was almost purely to add some retail without a lot of, and I think the mock-up of it shows that it just feels placed
like
in there completely disjointed and its language does not speak the same language as the rest of the project. So I tend to lean more towards like they're saying the structured they use Pioneer Square as an example, the pergola or maybe it's not the pergola, but some other amenity like that that
it
is not
seems like
of a commercial nature.
I would like something there that does soften that driveway because it looks awkward.
Yeah.
In that,
the driveway plus the blank wall behind the
driveway. And it plus it's going to be raised. It's going to be above the sidewalk level. So that is what your eye is going to catch. And, you know, and especially being in the conceptual point here, that is part of the concept of this site.
It's hopefully beneficial then for them for the applicant to hear that and can fully, you know, more fully address it before it does come back around in the design response
conference.
Do we
have, at this point, do we have to give them an answer on what we want of A, B, C, or?
On the massing layout, or more specifically at the corner?
Well, because, that corner.
Oh, I think if you lay out your objectives, I think you're ruling out putting the retail building there, but I think if you lay out the objectives, as you just did, about screening the driveway, screening the loading wall, things like that, they can take direction from.
And I think they even mentioned too, you know, if there were minor things like that, is, you know, the main bulk of it is say, we approve option 3 with, you know, still some wiggle room there.
My concern is, you know, and we, you know, both Carolyn and Susan hit on it, it's not Park Lane and it's never going to be engaging because of the nature of the building. What I hate seeing is that, it's going to be marked with, you know, 3-point turn tire marks. It's going to be a car sitting in there probably constantly with something, someone's always going to be dropping something off. How do we make this so that's not what it looks like?
I guess maybe I would give them the degrees of freedom to give an answer to that, to show us an option.
I mean, because this one more than the others, you actually drive all the way across the frontage to go in the parking garage. I mean, it's more about cars than anything we've ever seen before. I think it's really unfortunate.
It's too bad you couldn't come in from the south, the private driveway, make an arrangement.
So what was the objection, objection from everybody to Scheme 2?
We all like Scheme 2.
I know more did, but from the public. Because is there a way of lopping off that corner or scaling down that corner so because really it's more inviting to have this unprotected space. I mean, I would argue, as if I were a public, I'd say I'd rather be able to walk right into the front plaza than
walk across this.
Yeah.
And like Scott said, I mean, we were all fairly supportive of option two. I hate to try to recall what a lot of the objection was from the neighbors.
It wasn't the neighbors, it was the architects. It wasn't really viable.
Today, correct. Well, at our last meeting.
No, our last meeting.
Oh, it wasn't viable then?
It really wasn't viable.
Okay. Okay.
Scott, is your mic on?
Sorry about that.
I think the neighbors just like the less building open space idea,
yeah, that's
too.
Right.
Well, and it moved the active center of loading, unloading, garbage, all that off of the, you know, what faces residential, you know, off 10th and
yeah.
Puts it more onto the busier, more active street of Lake.
Onto our boulevard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's a fair summary of that. So our path forward is...
Did we conclude that the north commercial is not essential?
Yeah, correct.
I think so.
So I guess we're at the juncture where we vote for approving option three and moving on to a response conference with the multitude of comments I think we've given in regards to option three. Or, I mean, the alternative is, you know, we continue the conceptual design conference, but I don't know if we are.
I don't
if
think
that is a productive
different.
Measure, because we've done that once and
got the
did
same
not get
result.
A different answer.
Yeah.
Do you need a motion?
I say, yeah, I'd entertain a motion, I suppose. Or is there any more discussion,
I should say, before we
get there?
Do we have enough feedback?
I think it would help if we could summarize what we've heard. Susan had some guidance before returning to the design response conference about modulation, parapets, roof forms, length of blank facades, architectural style. You started to touch on minimizing the auto domination of the forecourt. I think it's, you know, with the palette of materials that's available, there's some separation with landscaping and fountain shown here. There's paving, landscaping, bollards, seating. I think there's some tools that are available to help with that. I think you're pretty clear about the open space direction at the northwest corner and wanting it to feel public.
And Carolyn had mentioned the aqueduct maybe. I mean, when we come back, it feels unrefined, you know, obviously it's unrefined at this point.
And that's the, you're talking about the three arches by the entry
standalone
drive.
Arches, yeah, coming off
the
of the retail.
North of the retail.
Correct,
okay.
I'm not misquoting.
I guess the other thing I'd say about these pergolas that are shown on the top floor, again, I think there's other clues maybe from some other projects in the neighborhood, but having them freestanding out at the face and not tied back to the building, I feel like they're not as successful as they could be.
So. I actually kind of agree with Tim, where I think it does minimize the effect that the building was stared back.
Right.
You step it back and then put a kind of a wall there again.
Yeah, I agree
these
with
guys,
that too.
Yeah, I mean, right now they're sort of I think they're extending the front facade and they're not providing any.
Yeah.
Any shade or shadow to the building, really. So, I'd like to see an alternative for that.
I think when they come back, too, it would be nice to see different street perspectives. How is it going to look from across the street looking at it?
And on top, I mean, and we've really, of course, focused on the Lake Street frontage. Obviously, we have three other sides to this building. We'll want to see perspectives, obviously, from all sides, and in particular, what the neighbors will see looking west from the east border of the property.
And also, this is a very large roof, and you have a huge hillside looking down on this roof. I think we're going to have to be very careful on, okay, what utilities, how they're going to look, how they're going to be screened, and also just how this huge expansive roof is going to be affecting the community.
I should ask the applicant too, do you have any questions for us based on our deliberations, or clear what you will need to come back with for the response conference?
You know, I do want to clarify a lot of the comments that are being made about the architectural design are part of that cautionary thing that I said at the beginning of this, this was not intended as a design. We understand we have to do things like the modulation and the materials and the specific configuration of pergolas, and all of that is really great feedback. And what we're presenting tonight is not a proposal for approval on that.
And I guess I should say, too, it's probably, I don't think it's a real heavy critique of anything. Just maybe it's more of a passive way of telegraphing some of the, thoughts that are there. So to help maybe shape what, when you do have the first response conference.
Yeah, to give, at least for me, it wasn't, it's more, okay, well, this is what I would be looking for going forward.
Andrew, do you have any other questions for us, or is it we have captured the comments we've made?
I think so. So, Jeremy, you listed a whole bunch of things. Do you have all those?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Then I'll, we'll work together to.
All right. Well, having gotten that out of the way, is there a motion to approve option 3?
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Enthusiastically.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right. So moved. Diligently. Thank you for your time again and coming back and talking with us. And I believe that was everything on our agenda tonight. There's no minutes or anything like that to approve. So maybe an easier motion. Do I have a...
So move.
Motion to adjourn? Second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? All right. Adjourned. Adjourned.